This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, July 12th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
President Trump continues his push against NATO allies in Brussels.
Prime Minister Theresa May publishes her Brexit plan.
Global stocks and commodities recover from yesterday's sell-off.
Wall Street's biggest banks weigh on the economic effects of the brewing trade war.
He complained about his prison conditions before a judge, but it backfired big time for Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, what's better than a 3-0 Mets shutout? How about a 9-0 Yankees shutout? And the World Cup final is set.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Granite Shares, a provider of cost-effective, no K-1 commodity ETFs. Visit GraniteShares.com for more information. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Global equities are advancing this morning after yesterday's bruising sell-off. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 113, NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany's up 0.3%, CAC in Paris up 0.25%, FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.2%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.85%, yield on the 2-year 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 71 cents to $71.09 a barrel. COMEX gold is up less than 0.1% of 90 cents to $12.45.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1679. The yen, 112.42. This data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Bob.
Day two of the NATO summit's underway in Brussels. That's where we find Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern, who joins us now with the latest from the meeting. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. It's day two at NATO, and it's starting off a bit like day one, but this time, instead of attacking Germany to the NATO Secretary General, President Donald Trump is doing it via Twitter. He said, quote, "What good is NATO if Germany is paying Russia billions of dollars for gas and energy?" He's also going after the remainder of the countries not yet at the 2% target. And new data from NATO yesterday showed that actually 8 countries are now reaching that target. Previously, it was 5. And finally, Trump is pushing for even more defense spending. He said the target should be at 4%, which would double the current goal. The president will leave NATO today and head to the United Kingdom. That's the next stop on his European tour. Friday, he'll meet with Prime Minister Theresa May and newly appointed Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt. They'll talk Russia, trade, Brexit, and the Middle East. And finally, what's a visit to the United Kingdom without tea with the Queen? He'll then head to Windsor Castle. At the NATO summit in Brussels, Anne-Marie Hordern, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. And we're now getting late word that President Trump is threatening to withdraw from NATO. That's according to German news agency DPA, which says the president threatened to pull the U.S. out of NATO if allies do not immediately increase defense spending.
We head from Brussels to London now. That next stop for President Trump, where Prime Minister Theresa May publishes her Brexit plan in a so-called white paper today. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek is live in London with the details. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Theresa May's Brexit vision is set to include plans to strike new trade deals for services, but not for goods. That's according to the briefing on this white paper that we had yesterday. The comprehensive report due to be published in just under an hour now. So that freedom for Britain to devise its own rules on the service sector, which accounts for 4/5 of the economy, the vast majority, is a prize for the Brexiteers, but it does come at the cost of a free trade area for goods with the EU. Striking those trade deals is going to be a challenge, though. Those agreements are a for services in world trade. So this is going to be breaking new ground. We'll have politicians and companies poised to search through the paper as it drops for unanswered questions and everything from the plan for the Irish border to the role of the European Court of Justice. Live from London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Sebastian. We're seeing equities around the world recovering some of yesterday's losses. Commodities also gaining after yesterday's broad-based sell-off. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Harvey reports.
The Bloomberg Commodity Index is clawing back some of the losses today. We're seeing gains led by nickel, Brent, wheat, copper is also advancing after getting clobbered yesterday. And Goldman Sachs has come out and cut its forecast for some metals, specifically cut its 3-month, 6-month, and 12-month copper forecast. But it has stuck with this mindset that the sell-off is pretty aggressive and a bit overdone, and has maintained a positive longer-term view that metals recovery will come in time.
Commodities plunged yesterday amid uncertainty about how the escalating trade war between the U.S. and China will affect demand.
Some of Wall Street's biggest banks are weighing in on how the trade war may affect growth. Economists at Morgan Stanley say tariffs could shave anywhere from 3 to 4 tenths of a percentage point off U.S. GDP. Their peers at Deutsche Bank and J.P. Morgan say the brewing trade war could cut growth in China by 2 to 3 tenths of a percent.
Bond traders now betting a rate cut is just as likely as a hike in 2020. The spread between December 2019 and December 2020 euro-dollar contracts fell below zero yesterday for the first time. That suggests short and traders don't expect the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates at all after next year.
Let's look at some corporate deals now. Comcast boosting its offer for Sky to $34 billion. The bid tops an offer from Rupert Murdoch's 21st Century Fox and escalates a global standoff between the media companies. Bloomberg's Anusha Sakui has more.
By increasing its offer for Sky, does that mean now that it's just going to put its chips behind that offer and maybe let those other assets from Fox, like the Fox studio, go to Disney? That's what investors are going to be asking themselves. It puts the ball back in Rupert Murdoch's court, and really it's going to come down to strategy if they think that Comcast will just settle on Sky.
Both Comcast and Disney have been vying to acquire the entertainment assets of Fox, and that bidding war in turn affects the fight between Comcast and Fox to acquire Sky.
Broadcom has agreed to buy CA Technologies for $18.9 billion. The acquisition gives the chipmaker a chance to diversify its business with a push into corporate software. Broadcom is paying a 20% premium to CA's closing price yesterday and plans to complete the deal in the fourth quarter.
Futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up about 13 points, Dow futures up 147, and straight ahead we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. An update on where we find Paul Manafort this morning. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. A federal judge is ordering Paul Manafort to be transferred from his VIP digs at a jail in Warsaw, Virginia. The move comes after President Trump's former campaign chairman spent weeks arguing he couldn't prepare for his trial this month because of the prison's conditions. Meanwhile, special counsel Robert Mueller argued that jurors who will weigh whether Manafort illegally lobbied for Ukraine should also hear about Manafort's work 3 decades ago for Saudi Arabia and other nations. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is calling on Democrats to join Republicans in confirming President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. Speaking to reporters after meeting with Kavanaugh, Graham said that elections had consequences and that those included repealing programs started under President Obama.
The court upheld Obamacare, but it will be challenged anew, and that Judge Kavanaugh, I hope, will listen to the challenge.
Democrats have said they would fight against Kavanaugh's confirmation. New York City officials say in the past week at least 8 people have been diagnosed as having Legionnaires' disease in the lower Washington Heights section of Upper Manhattan. It is often spread by dirty cooling towers. Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett says Legionnaires' disease is not contagious and is easily treatable when caught early.
We see more cases in the summer months, and when we see a cluster of cases which share a geography and nothing else that we can tell, we worry about cooling towers.
Legionnaires outbreaks are also reported in parts of New Jersey. More conservatives are getting behind a federal paid family leave program, a long priority of Democrats. Ivanka Trump has been making a push for a 6-week parental leave program. The Senate Finance Committee held a hearing on the legislation. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York is one of the senators who proposed the legislation.
The Family Act covers all workers, which I think is really important for all these debates that we have. It's not just about women. It's not just about new babies. All of us have family emergencies.
Republican Joni Ernst of Iowa also co-sponsored the measure. The Television Academy will announce later this morning its list of this year's Emmy nominees. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees wrapped up their four-game series in Baltimore in typical Bombers fashion.
Swung on, there it goes, deep right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It banged off the foul pole. It's a grand slam. It's bye-bye birdie in the right field seats.
Yankees radio, they blanked the O's, splitting the set with a 9-0 win. The problem for New York is Boston won its ninth straight, beating Texas to maintain its 3.5-game lead. Yankees' 11-game road trip continues. It's on to Cleveland. Marquee pitching matchup of the day finds Corey Kluber hosting Luis Severino. The Mets, they also hurled a shutout, 3-0 over the Phillies in 10 innings in walk-off fashion. The lone all-star Jacob deGrom threw 8 scoreless innings, fanning 7. Mets skipper Mickey Callaway.
I think the most impressive part is his ability to not worry about the lack of offense behind him, to stay even keel and just keep on doing the things he knows he has to do to have success, whether he's getting wins or not. I think it's pretty impressive. You know, most people can't just sit there and weather the storm like that. So that's what's been most impressive to me.
Mets also took 2-4. Nationals are in town tonight. Max Scherzer takes on Steven Matz. Giants walked off the Cubs to take the series. A's beat the Astros. World Cup, Croatia edged England 2-1. They'll meet France in the final on Sunday. Tennis, Wimbledon. Serena Williams looks to advance to the finals at 10 a.m. Roger Federer was ousted, while Rafael Nadal, John Isner, and Novak Djokovic each moved on. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka. We should find out today how successful legalized gambling in New Jersey is. Regulators released figures on how Monmouth Racetrack and the Borgata Casino, which started taking bets on June 14th, and Ocean Resort Casino, which started June 20th, did in the weeks after sports betting became legal. This is Bloomberg. The sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European equities advancing this morning following a sell-off yesterday that saw the S&P 500 drop the most in 2 weeks. Stocks also gained in Asia, with China's Shanghai Composite rising more than 2%. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from our Singapore bureau.
Karen, Chinese stocks outperformed, with the CSI 300 recouping Wednesday's losses. The offshore yuan paired an overnight loss, though remained past a key level against the greenback that had prompted verbal intervention from the central bank just last week. ZTE shares listed in Hong Kong and China rallied after the company inked an agreement with the Trump administration to allow it to resume doing business with American suppliers. The overall appetite for more risk in the region saw the yen fall to a six-month low against the dollar, the Nikkei closing higher by over 1% to 22,187 points in Tokyo. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the Consumer Price Index. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45, and Delta is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Donald Trump has arrived at NATO headquarters, where he's attending his second day of meetings with leaders of the military alliance. In the early hours today, Trump tweeted, "Billions of additional dollars are being spent by NATO countries since my visit last year at my request, but it is not nearly enough." An FBI agent removed from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team because of text messages critical of President Trump is testifying publicly for the first time. Peter Strzok is set to appear today before the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees. In baseball, the Yankees shut out the Orioles 9-0. The Mets won along with the Red Sox, Giants, and A's. The Nationals lost. In the World Cup, Croatia eliminated England to advance to the final to face France. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
You heard that right, Croatia. Yeah. It is now 519 on Wall Street. Foreign exchange traders are struggling to know which way to lean when it comes to betting on the escalating global trade war. Let's get Michael Sneed's take on this now. He's global head of FX strategy for BNP Paribas and is joining us on the line in London. Good morning and welcome. So as we've seen the tit-for-tat unfolding between the U.S. and China, the reaction's been relatively muted in the swings of major developed market currencies. What do you think is behind that?
Good morning. I think it's the market getting used to these trade tensions. You know, we've had headlines coming to and for really for the last 4 months. And what you've seen so far is that from a corporate level, there's been, you know, actually very little impact so far. Also, you've seen the Chinese renminbi depreciate somewhat, which actually more than offsets the tariffs that have been put in place so far. So it's the market getting a little bit kind of comfortable and used to this new kind of situation.
So there's also been divided opinion about what might constitute a haven if tensions escalate. Any ideas there?
Yeah, I think what's been really interesting in the last couple of days is the move that we've had in dollar yen. You know, the market has been typically using the yen as a safe haven currency. But in the last few days, when you've had equity markets being a little bit softer, you've had the yen actually weakening against the dollar. You know, we think that this is really due to the positioning. The market has been holding this large yen position against a backdrop where the dollar has actually been doing reasonably well. And now we think we're seeing some big capitulation on that positioning. I think it's illustrating to us the type of market environment where news headlines are having less of an impact. But what is having an impact is investors, I think, reducing positions, particularly as we head into the what's perceived to be a quiet summer season.
We saw the greenback surge in late trading yesterday. Does that continue?
So we think that it could continue a little longer. You know, one thing that we've got big focus on going forward is the next escalation of trade tensions. So now that Trump is talking about extending the tariffs to $200 billion of goods, which is, amount which is going to be very difficult for China to retaliate on. You know, what we're watching for now is whether we do get anything more substantial from China. If we do, that probably does set us up for a period in which the dollar could continue to do well for a little bit longer.
We have seen central banks around the world just sort of starting to raise rates. Now we're seeing that bond traders are betting that a rate cut might be just as likely as a hike in 2020. Is that possible in your eyes?
So our view at BNP Paribas is probably more cautious than the market consensus. You know, we do think that the U.S. economy is going to be slowing as we go into the end of this year and into the start of 2019. We do not think that the Fed will be cutting rates, but we do think that the last hike in this cycle will be in Q1 2019. And that's something which is not priced into the market, but it's something we think could see become priced as we move throughout the second half of 2018.
And as the uncertainty continues over Brexit in the UK, how do you take a defensive position on the pound at this point?
So it's trading the pound has been quite difficult for a lot of investors recently, you know, partly because it hasn't really moved that much. You know, if you look at euro sterling, it's been pretty much range trading in quite a tight range the last 9 months. If you look at cable, it's really been trading as a function of the broad swings in the dollar. This to us is because the market, you know, wants sterling to rally on this progressive news of a soft Brexit, but there still remains substantial downside risks. The risk of a kind of no-deal Brexit coming in March is, you know, non-negligible. We think it's small, but it's a non-negligible risk. And this is kind of really holding the market back, we think, from wanting to buy sterling at these levels. In order of being kind of protecting from the risks, the best way we think at the moment is really buyer options. You know, volatility is currently quite low, so when you have such a binary outcome, actually putting hedges on buyer options is quite attractive.
Michael Sneed is Global Head of FX Strategy for BNP Paribas. Thanks very much for your insights this morning. S&P futures currently up 12 points. That is almost 0.5%. 10-year Treasury prices down 2/32. The yield up to 2.8564%. The pound trading at $1.3210. The euro at $1.1676. The yen at 112.44. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by BNP Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNP Bank, many success stories, one bank. BNBBank.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising and stocks overseas are higher as China holds off on detailing how it plans to retaliate against President Donald Trump's most recent tariff threats. And oil is rising after the biggest plunge in more than 2 years. Checking crude right now, NYMEX. Up 1% at $71.03 a barrel. Brent crude is up 2% at $74.87.
Meanwhile, the International Energy Agency says OPEC's Gulf members may need to pump almost as much as crude as they can to cover swelling supply losses from Venezuela to Iran and beyond.
We get another reading on U.S. inflation this morning when the government issues the Consumer Price Index. Economists forecasting an increase of 0.2% for June. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
In May, the consumer price index rose 0.2%, the second consecutive increase. Bloomberg Economics says import tariffs could lift prices for some household goods, though it's probably too soon to see much of an impact. On Wednesday, the government reported producer prices rose for the sixth month in a row. Futures trading point to more Fed tightening to quell inflation. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. And deal news, semiconductor maker Broadcom has agreed to acquire CA Technologies for $18.9 billion in cash. The moves help Broadcom branch out into corporate software to diversify its business. Broadcom will pay a 20% premium to CA's closing price yesterday.
Comcast has increased its takeover bid for British pay TV provider Sky to $34 billion. That tops a sweetened offer from Rupert Murdoch's 21st Century Fox.
British Prime Minister Theresa May's government comes out with a plan today that outlines a vision for post-Brexit ties with the EU. That so-called white paper is expected within the hour.
And BMW will become the first foreign automaker to own a majority in a Chinese joint venture. Bloomberg News has learned that BMW plans to unveil the new ownership structure soon. The company now holds a 50% of a stake in the venture with Brilliance China Automotive.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 14 points. Dow futures up 156. NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. CAC in Paris up about 0.4%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 2.85%. The yield on the 2-year 2.59%. COMEX gold is little change this morning, up 40 cents to $1,244.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1678. The yen, 112.42. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:33 on Wall Street. NATO under pressure, day two. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump is continuing to hammer NATO nations over their defense spending as he prepares for a second day of meetings in Brussels. Yesterday, Trump tweeted all NATO nations must meet their 2% commitment, and that must ultimately go to 4%. Today, Trump will attend a summit session focused on Afghanistan and hold four meetings on the sidelines, sitting down with the leaders of Azerbaijan, Romania, Ukraine, and Georgia. Special counsel Robert Mueller argued that jurors who will weigh whether Paul Manafort illegally lobbied for Ukraine should also hear about his work 3 decades ago for Saudi Arabia and other nations. Manafort, President Donald Trump's former campaign chairman, is charged in Washington with failing to register as a foreign agent of Ukraine, laundering millions of dollars, and obstructing justice. Meanwhile, a federal judge is ordering Manafort to be transferred from his VIP digs at a jail in Virginia. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports.
A federal judge has ordered Manafort transferred from the federal lockup in central Virginia to Alexandria, where he'll face trial on tax and bank fraud charges July 25th. Mueller says Manafort had his own bathroom, shower, phone, and laptop at the Northern Neck Regional Jail in Warsaw, Virginia, not to mention plenty of space to meet with his legal team. Manafort had argued against the transfer, citing safety concerns. Just days ago, he was complaining that he couldn't properly prepare for trial because he was being held too far away from Alexandria. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
Vice President Mike Pence says Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh would bring impeccable credentials to the high court. Pence spoke to a crowd in Cedar Rapids, Iowa yesterday.
Judge Kavanaugh is a leader among jurists in this country. In fact, 12 of his opinions, including some dissenting opinions, were adopted by the Supreme Court of the United States and are now a part of the law of the land.
The vice president was in Iowa lending campaign support to Congressman Rod Blum. The 70th Emmy Awards nominees will be announced later this morning. HBO's Game of Thrones, NBC's This Is Us, and CBS's Mom are likely to be in the running. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Greg Bird smashed a grand slam more than enough for the Yankees, who rolled the Orioles 9-0 at Camden Yards, salvaging a four-game split. Sonny Gray, with his best outing of the year, couldn't have come at a better time, said skipper Aaron Boone.
I thought he had better command. I thought he threw more strikes. I think I looked up there at one point, and he was about 2-1 strikes to walks. You know, and sometimes when we've seen him struggle, it's fallen behind in counts. Maybe because he's trying to be a little bit too fine, and then he gets himself in trouble. Tonight he was dictating counts a lot more. A couple times when he did get in that a three-ball count or something, and he really needed to make a pitch, he was able to do that.
Ray went six innings, striking out eight. Yankees are 3.5 back of Boston, who won their ninth straight. Yankees take on first-place Cleveland tonight as the road trip continues. Corey Kluber and Luis Severino. Mets took down the Phillies 3-0. With the second walk-off win in as many days.
Two Mets aboard, both with speed. 0-0 in the 10th in the pitch. Curve, hit high, hit well, to right. Got a chance to go. Brandon Nimmo hits it out. Ball game!
Mets radio, they'll host the Nationals tonight. Max Scherzer facing Steven Matz. Home Run Derby participants were unveiled for next week's All-Star festivities. Bryce Harper, Freddie Freeman, Jesus Aguilar, Javier Baez, Alex Bregman, Reese Hoskins, Max Muncy, and Kyle Schwarber. How about Tim Tebow, the Mets prospect? He's in true All-Star form. He had a double, went 1-for-4. He played in his first All-Star game for the Eastern League. Wimbledon, Roger Federer upset while Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal advanced. World Cup, France meets Croatia in the finals on Sunday. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thank you very much. Now 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, a special issue of the magazine with a focus on heists, featuring some of the world's biggest thefts, scams, and frauds. Also in this latest issue, how Netflix aims to expand in India. Lucas Shaw wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
So it's only been in India for a couple of years. They've this year released two movies. They're about to release their first big drama series. And by next year, they say that they're going to release 16 or 17 original different pieces, probably 12 or 13 movies and 5 or 6 different series. Because India has really local and parochial tastes. All the biggest movies year in and year out are Bollywood.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. That is time for your Tri-State Business Report, and we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Hi, Bob. The number of new leases in Manhattan fell 17.5% from a year earlier in June, according to Miller Samuel in Douglas Elliman Real Estate. They also say the new tax law is scaring would-be home buyers from Westchester. Purchases in the county plunged 18% in the second quarter from a year earlier. New Jersey regulators are scheduled to reveal today how the new sports betting market did in its first weeks. Results are coming in from Monmouth Park Racetrack at Oceanport and the Borgata, which both began June 14th, and Ocean Resort Casino, which started June 28th. Major upgrades to the Thomas J. Dodd Memorial Stadium in Norwich are awaiting negotiations between city officials and team owners for a new lease or extension with the Connecticut Tigers. Stadium authority members are worried the heating and ventilation system at the stadium is failing. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thanks, Ed. Now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. American Airlines tumbled the most in 2 years on lower-than-expected fares.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on the growing bidding war between Comcast and Fox for Britain's Sky TV.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following Britain's post-Brexit trading plans as the government releases its white paper.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that the Department of Agriculture may be clearing the way for some lightning-fast traders to capitalize on market-moving data before others.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting shares of Domino's rallied yesterday, the same day shares of Papa John's Pizza plunged.
Thanks to you all. Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. S&P futures up 12 points. That is almost 0.5%. Dow futures have added 145 points. NASDAQ futures up by 31 points. 10-year Treasury prices down 2/32. The yield at 2.8582%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The earnings season gets underway in earnest today with quarterly results from Delta. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
Delta's second quarter operating margin is expected to fall with higher fuel costs outpacing gains in fares. Still, Bloomberg Intelligence says earnings per share should increase by about 6%, largely due to a 4% share buyback. Analysts forecast earnings per share of $1.71 on revenue of $11.7 billion. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mark, thank you. Stocks advancing globally, rebounding in the wake of a tough sell-off a day earlier. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 141, NASDAQ futures up 30, the DAX in Germany's up 0.25%, 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.85%, yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 64 cents to $71.02 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed up 80 cents to $12.45.20 an ounce. The euro $1.1677 and the yen 112.44. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump has reportedly threatened to pull the U.S. out of NATO if its allies do not immediately increase defense spending. NATO leaders are holding an unscheduled meeting to discuss the alliance budget this morning, according to officials familiar with the matter. Peter Strzok, the FBI agent removed from special counsel Robert Mueller's team because of derogatory text messages about President Donald Trump, is testifying publicly for the first time. Strzok is to appear today before the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees. In baseball, the Yankees shut out the Orioles 9-0. The Mets won. Along with the Red Sox, Giants, and A's, the Nationals lost. In the World Cup, Croatia eliminated England 2-1 to advance to the final to face France. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. That brings us to 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London bureau. Edward, good morning.
Good morning.
Christopher Balding is writing about China in the bullseye. He says President Trump's tariffs hit China where it really hurts.
Indeed. Now, the new measures, 10% tariffs on an additional $200 billion of Chinese products, are certainly going to get Beijing's attention. But the headline figures here actually matter less than the industries being targeted and their relative importance to China's economy. By any metric, this latest attack is a very serious escalation. Look at the industries targeted. Basic manufactured goods like furniture, electronics, manufacturing, textiles and fibres. Together, these make up about two-thirds of total Chinese exports, which in turn account for just under 20% of gross domestic product. So the potential here for serious economic harm is high, all the more so given that manufacturing is the largest individual employment sector in the country. Now, the new tariffs will also put pressure on China's trade surplus with the US, and making matters worse, the new tariffs will likely accelerate the migration of low-wage manufacturing from China to frontier markets like Vietnam and Bangladesh. Even without tariffs, many exporters in industries like garments and textiles were eyeing the exits after years of double-digit wage growth in China. Tariffs are only going to exacerbate this shift, for which China was ill-prepared. Now, all this comes at a really bad time. With economic strain rising, Chinese officials were already resorting to risky measures to boost growth. Look at the China Banking and Insurance Regulatory Commission. It recently advised banks to reduce interest rates on loans to small and medium-sized enterprises, while state-owned banks have increased lending for real estate investment to ensure that the economy continues to grow. That's even as stocks and key commodities have been plummeting. Against this backdrop, the prospect of a long trade war is causing growing alarm within China. Academics and key officials have been quietly wondering if the ruling party has made a significant miscalculation here.
Okay, Leonid Brzezinski is talking about Mr. Trump's claim that Germany is captive to Russia, and he says Germany is nobody's captive.
This is referring to Trump's comments at the NATO summit in Brussels yesterday, where the president said Germany was totally controlled by Russia, which supplies some of the US allies' energy. Germany is a captive of Russia, Trump says, because they got rid of their coal plants, they got rid of their nuclear plants, and they're getting so much of the oil and gas from Russia. Now, like many of Trump's statements, this looks factually shaky. Today, Germany is not existentially dependent on natural gas or on imports from Russia in particular, nor has it become more of a captive. Indeed, it's actually increased the share of renewable sources, its energy balance, and decreased the proportion of energy that it gets from Russian gas over the time, according to Leonid.
And Marcus Ashworth says Greek bond officials need to say carpe diem, time for Greece to seize the day.
Finally, Greece is just on the threshold of a full return to that club of stable European countries that can issue debt at will, and it can make a big step by issuing bonds. Officials have perhaps realised this, and that's why they're gauging investor demand at the moment with a US roadshow on their economy. Hopefully, they're also going to realise that the current friendly conditions in the market won't last. Yields on Greek bonds at their best levels in a year. We've had the Eurogroup meeting last month. Very generous terms, an extra 8 billion euros of cash and a 10-year extension, I should say, on repaying its outstanding debt to the EU. Smooth exit from its third bailout expected in the summer, and any new bond deal would expand the country's cash cushion. S&P has raised its sovereign grade rating on Greece, and further prize awaits the prospect here that the country will at last qualify for entry into the European Central Bank's quantitative easing program.
So Marcus says basically the window's open, but it doesn't have to stay that way.
Doesn't have to stay that way. Look at what happened when Greece issued earlier this year, how that bond performed, the February bond performed, and how that subsequently performed poorly because, of course, all the turmoil in Italy that blew up. Now, that's calmed down, but don't forget Italy begins its budget negotiations in September.
Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau, thanks very much. And you can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
SMTM Technology of San Mateo, California is suing Apple over its technology that blocks phone calls and alerts while users are driving, claiming it infringes its patents. New York is likely to join other states and copy the South Dakota model at issue in the U.S. Supreme Court's Wayfair case, imposing taxes based on the threshold of sales that the seller makes within a state, not whether they're located there. And an analysis by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy finds significant federal tax changes from 2001 through 2018 have reduced
increased revenue by $5.1 trillion.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at the next steps for the Trump administration after officials failed to reunite all children under five who had been separated from their parents. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with David Beer, an immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute.
With all the resources of the federal government at their disposal, why aren't they able to bring just 102 children back to their parents?
Well, they have a litany of excuses. They say they are working through verifying that these parents are really connected to these children. And that's partly because they had no mechanism in place to track children who were separated from their parents. So they had to work backwards through the process trying to figure out which children are supposed to be with which parents. And that's really a shocking discovery that, you know, astounded the court to such an extent that the judge in the case pointed it out, that this is actually more a less rigorous process of tracking than they have in place for property that is being taken away from migrants who come to the border. They actually have a system in place for tracking property, but not for children being separated from their parents.
The judge refused to extend the next deadline. Almost 3,000 older kids have to be returned to their parents by July 26th. That's 15 days. How likely is that? And really, what is the penalty, the punishment for the government here if it says once again that logistics made it impossible to comply, et cetera, et cetera? Is there any deterrent?
It doesn't appear that there's any penalty that's going to be imposed by this judge. I imagine that unless it becomes obvious that the administration is, just intentionally flouting this requirement, that she will not impose any kind of contempt order, which would really be what was necessary to get them to act expeditiously.
And that's David Beer, an immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute, speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 12.5 points, Dow futures up 145, NASDAQ futures up 32, 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.85%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.59%, the 30-year yield 2.95%, and the euro this morning at $1.1678, the yen 112.43. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg Radio.